this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell.
But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir. How you doing?
Doing good. It's a rainy day here in San Francisco, California. The boys did it again for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. That's five on the trot. Unbelievable start for the new manager. Feeling good.
Wasn't pretty. Probably the ugliest match yet. He made a lot of changes, played like a lot of the young lads. That was good to see, but that's what it's about, bro. It's about getting results. Not always pretty, but sometimes you just, a win is a win, and you'll take the win and move on to the next one, which is a big one coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, when you look at the wage bill between the two sides, you look at Reading be at the bottom of the championship. Not a great showing for Manchester United, but again, a lot of changes. I think that was the primary cause to blame, if you will. But let's jump into it. Of course, we're talking about FA Cup third round. Manchester United 2, Reading 0 at Old Trafford. The lineup, Romero gets the start, sir. You called it. Dalot, Darmian, Jones, and Young at the back. I did not call Darmian center back.
Who did? Who did?
That was a curveball coming in. Could have hurt the form. McTominay, Pereira, Fred in the midfield. Mata, Lukaku, and Sanchez in the 4-3-3. Ole drops the 4-2-3-1 for the first time at home at Old Trafford. What do you think about the lineup? Any curveballs, things you disagreed with?
Sorry, I think this is a good mix of young players and experienced lads, players that need some game time, and Lukaku and Sanchez come back to form. But that's got to be a team good enough to dispel lowly Reading. You know, Reading came out fighting. We had a lot of possession, but this
team. The Biscuiteers came out fighting for the shirt hard.
The Biscuit Kings showed us what's what, but this is a team that's got a lot of class in it. So it should have no problem.
Darmian at center back, what do you mean? That's my first big slate for Ole in any of the lineups he's had. Clearly,
he played well, though, bro.
No, he did play well, but clearly, I mean, this is when we got the lineup, but clearly, you know, Ole's trying to spice up a little bit, maybe too much here. McTominay with the start as well. I think putting McTominay, Pereira, and Fred a little much. You'd like to see maybe a Modric or maybe a Lingard in there, someone to like shore it up in the middle of the park, and I do think that was the reason why we had trouble to start was the midfield. But you have Mata, Lukaku, Sanchez. I'm not going to disagree with that. It's mainly the midfield three and then the Darmian center back where I was like, ugh. Still, the boys make a lot of money. They're paid to wear the United shirt. They should do the business. But that first half, let's jump right in. United allow Reading to have a lot of the ball and are happy enough to sit back and defend. So things kind of out of sorts for United. How'd you feel after the ball was kicked off here?
No, I mean, the first 15 minutes were pretty ugly stuff. We're not doing the high press as effectively as we had done in previous instances under Ole. And then that midfield was like, looked a little nervous. We gave the ball away pretty cheaply a lot when we get the ball and win it back from Reading. And they'd give it away. A lot of haphazard passes. So, you know, new midfield that hasn't played together at all. A lot of players that haven't seen a lot of game time in Pereira and McTominay. So that kind of thing's going to work itself out. But it wasn't the prettiest performance, sir.
Yeah, no, and we had to, it was a little while for our class would break through here. 16th minute, finally United start playing more quickly. I think that's what we were missing, a lot of quick passing to get through the lines. When Sanchez did get the ball, he was dangerous. He picks up possession 25 yards out, drops his shoulder, and he shifts the ball to his right and sends a dipper screaming, intended for the top left, but inches over the bar. Sanchez with a lightning strike. So, again, when you get Sanchez that ball out on the left-hand side, he is dangerous. He has a good work rate. Lukaku looks sharp as well. 20th minute, offside goal goes to VAR. I mean, this is kind of a combination of offsides and a shout for a penalty from Mata. Hard to say how VAR works here, but
review anything and everything.
I think that was a light. So it was reviewed for being offsides first, but then there was Mata contact in the box. And for me, that's a 50-50, you know, especially at full speed. When you watch things slow down, and this is, we're going to get to the VAR topic. You know, it's a clear penalty when you slow it down, but is that really a penalty, sir? What did you think about this whole thing with the VAR? It took a few minutes for them to get the decision. I was confused regarding what's reviewed here, so what did you think?
It's definitely a penalty. But that being
definite?
Definite.
At full speed, you see that call all the time? It seems like coming together.
It wasn't at full. I mean, it was a penalty for sure. When you slow it down, it's definitely a penalty. But yeah, it's a hard one to make at full speed. But now with VAR, bro, it's gonna be the new normal starting next year, and it is for the FA Cup for the remainder of the year. So we came out in the positive this time, but there's gonna be instances where we get bit in the ass because of this, you know, this new technology. So it'll help us this time. There'll be times where it hurts us in the future, but that's kind of where we're going, bro. Everything's gonna be analyzed and overanalyzed. What's a foul? What's not a foul? What's a penalty? What's not?
Yeah, and what's reviewed? So it seems to me the primary review is originally offsides. Then it goes to the contact on Mata, which you're right, at slowed down, it is a penalty. But again, at full speed, I think that's a 50-50. And as a United fan, I don't think we even deserve this penalty at this time, right? And of all the players to step up, Juan Mata, right?
Well, I think he kind of insisted with Lukaku. They were discussing it. Yeah, I'm taking this. I earned it. And fair to Mata, bro. He's experienced. He's good at a penalty. And he earned it because he hammered it home, bro. And we needed that. We needed that early goal, which is also a good sign to see under Ole. He's getting some luck, some like fortuitous calls, which is very much the Fergie way. We used to always have luck on our sides. And this was like not a great performance by United, but we got some good chances, good calls on it for our sake.
Yeah, and you hope that this goal, which was coolly finished by Mata in the lower right-hand side, I called that as we were watching. And Mata, great penalty record for, for United. We did discuss this when Pogba had that cheeky run up before, and I kind of said Mata would be one of my penalty takers at United. I'd like to see Lukaku kick this. He needs the confidence. He needs the goals. And, he should be taking the number nine, in my opinion, should be taking the penalties when he's on the field. But again, you thought this goal would galvanize the squad. We come out, hit him for four, hit him for five. That's what we predicted. We waited 30th minute here. A glorious chance missed at both ends. Lukaku first barrels his way down the middle. He should tear clear, but lets the ball clank between his feet. Classic Lukaku touch this year. Loses momentum, finally digs it out for a shot, but Xhaka parries well. With United's entire defense gone AWOL for some reason, Harriet slips the ball in for Loader, who should shoot when one-on-one with Romero, but instead tries around the keeper. Romero stands up well for a block for a corner. Kept his composure here. End-to-end stuff. And again, United dangerous going forward and in shambles at the back. Clearly not our starting lineup at the back, but still Phil Jones making a meal of things.
I mean, definitely Rashford would have made more of this chance that Lukaku had. He made amends for it, to be fair, at the end of the first half and did so well, but this has always been one of his issues, like given just one-on-one, he sometimes overthinks it, is given too much space, and just like screws the ball up in his feet.
And his touch sometimes lets him down, which is not
those big feet, bro.
That's the big complaint, and mentally he's kind of rattled right now when it comes to his first touch. But Ole commented that he's a finisher, he's a goal scorer, and a goal scorer doesn't need to be pretty, they just need to convert their chances. So let's speak of it. The next chance, Lukaku finishes in the 49th minute. We had 4 minutes of stoppage time in the first half. Just as Reading were threatening to equalize, man, we looked pretty... Our back four looked like Swiss cheese there for a minute. United against very terrible competition, looking just unorganized at best.
The midfield, though. The midfield was not doing them any help, right? We've had a really nice midfield since Ole's come on of Herrera, Matic, and Pogba. But this was a complete change, all new players, and it just... There wasn't that continuity, there wasn't that link-up play, and that was, I think, one of the reasons why we played such a average-looking game, was that the midfield wasn't clicking. Because once we got the ball to the front three, it was much better. And even the defense helped, they held their line to a certain extent, but the midfield was just, playing real loose, man. Real loose, sloppy stuff, and giving Reading way too many chances on the ball.
Yeah, Sanchez gets the ball, threads a pass, quality. Great pass from Sanchez inside left to release Lukaku, who has a good first touch, rounds the keeper, and then rolls it home. So I was impressed by that touch from Lukaku. Given the stick, the chance earlier, for him to coolly finish that, good on him, and glad he's getting some goals against some lesser competition. Build that man's confidence. I mean, how many goals does he have?
3-3, bro. It's 3-3, dude.
Easy as you like. Big Luke on the mark.
And the exact opposite of the 30th minute chance, right? He had everything to do. Good run. Great pass from Sanchez. We still got to beat the keeper and get it in a tight angle. And he did both, bro. So good on him. Those are the kind of goals that you need to be scoring on a consistent basis for Manchester United. And Lukaku's got it. He just confidence, bro. Just get one of those going, and that certainly helps.
It's also quality of service, too. So no doubt. I definitely have slated Lukaku. You're pro-Lukaku camp. I'm kind of like the pro Rashford camp, maybe another number nine. So a little more.
I'm certainly pro Rashford as well, sir.
No, I know you're pro Rashford, but you know what I'm saying.
I'm a pro striker. I get better, more benefit than you do.
I would start Rashford of Lukaku all day. You, I don't know.
We'll talk about it when we get a Spurs preview in a couple days, sir. I think Lukaku might be on the bench, bro.
Yeah, this is true. But to see him come out and get a good service and then execute, that's what Lukaku does. And I have to, even as someone who would like to knock Lukaku's touch, you know, or laugh at the highlights on Twitter, to see him coolly finish when he has the right pass, you know, give the man a good pass, you know, he might do better. So I have to say he's kind of been let down a little bit by the Pogbas of the world or, you know, his wingers.
Or style
of
play, right? Yeah. He's like actually being told by the manager, go run onto the ball, make a run the way you used to. But we saw a little bit in the first season, right, where he had that good finish at Crystal Palace on his left foot. But we need more of this, bro. More run-ons. We have a lot of good players that can pick out a pass. Sanchez can do so, too. The more he gets chances like this, the more goals he's going to score. Because he'll score goals.
But when I think of Lukaku, service. I think of, like, crosses in the box, him, like, beasting defenders, like, heading it in, like, getting the ball, like, sharp cross right in, finishing right in front of goal. You know, someone like a Dzeko or, like, a Zlatan. And we don't play that way right now.
No, we
don't. We play running in the channels. The striker swaps with the
ball on the ground. A lot of ball on the ground.
Yeah, a lot of the ball on the ground. The striker swaps with the wingers. Pogba's getting forward. He's the one who's getting those chances, not necessarily Lukaku. So it is a style issue. And if you ever played FIFA or a FIFA Ultimate Team, you have those issues too when you're a manager trying
always
to fit
issues,
into the
always
team.
Issues,
you know? Or, you know, football manager for that matter. Second half, United come out a little slowly, still give Reading plenty of the ball. So, you know, we're up by two. Hey, we're getting paid millions of dollars. Why do we care? It's FA Cup, mate. 53rd minute, close to call. Aluko jinks his way across the front of the United box, right into the left. He suddenly checks and plays a cute straight pass to Harriet, who is free on the penalty spot. He has to score, but batters straight at Romero. Romero, a lot of chances, a lot of sloppy defense in front of him, but he held his cool. So the Argentine, like you said, best number two in the world, mate.
No doubt, bro. Because we gave him too much to do. I mean, he had a couple close calls, one in the first half where he was like one-on-one. That was like ridiculous stuff. But he had some good saves in the second half. And he's a great keeper to have, right, against a Reading where they're not going to be as clinical as a Chelsea. So you get him some minutes, and it's always good to give our boy De Gea a break because we got a big game coming up on the weekend, sir.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that we have a number two who can come in and just do a job. I mean, we got Lee Grant, too, who just like...
chilling. Straight chilling, bro.
For some reason, when we watched the games, the TV cameras love Lee Grant. Love to watch him on the sideline celebrate. I like to get Lee Grant in a game. You know,
he didn't play
preseason, but I'd love to get Lee Grant in, you know. Just give him a run.
Enjoy Dubai, Lee.
55th minute, good chance for United. A long ball down the left-hand side. Lukaku cushions a header down for Sanchez, who can't get a shot away. The item should clear, but he allows Lukaku to barge him off the ball. Straight up Lukaku stuff. And he sets up Mata, who first-time swipe hits more. So good stuff from the boys. Mata looking composed. Sanchez, Lukaku, Mata look sharp. They should against Reading. And again, I think that was the highlight of the day. And Piero looked pretty good. He has some good moves in the middle of the park. McTominay, you know, and Fred, not so much. I think those two I would kind of rate a little bit. But Twitter's all over the board on the midfield.
Oh, there's Slayton Fred. There's Slayton Piero. There's Slayton McTominay. I think Piero and Fred did more right, had more like really nice moments, but also had a bunch of shit moments that hard to look over because a lot of easy giveaways, a lot of being caught in possession. McTominay did that for sure. Once or twice, and got us caught on the break. But, you know, I think they just need more playing time. Fred is not a player that you can really truly evaluate until after the first year. Just the same with Lindelof. It's like coming from a much lower league, and then you're buying him. Give him a year to settle in, and then we can say whether or not he was a good buyer or not.
Yeah, when it comes to Fred, you give any player a year. You give Lindelof a year.
For like, sure.
Right off last year for Lindelof, he comes back looking a little better. Fred, same thing. McTominay, loan. If Twan Zabi and Fosu Mensah are out on loan, McTominay's got to be on loan.
Oh,
he's got to get minutes. He's not ready for the United first team. He's not ready for the United bench. He's probably not even ready for the FA Cup. I like McTominay. He did a job under Mourinho when we had a lot of injuries to our midfield. But again, get the kid minutes. Get him on loan. When it comes to Piera, sign or let him leave, that's a tough one for me. Haven't seen too much of him. And if you have Fred, I don't think you need Piera. You need one of those two in the midfield, especially if you look at how Ole's going to play. But again, he's a caretaker manager. A lot of questions to ask. A lot of question marks around these contracts at the club. So
a lot of players going to be available as a free agent in the summer, right? If we Don't lock him up. Herrera, Young,
Mata,
Martial. We gotta lock that one down ASAP. ASAP. But
Eddie, you got a lot of work to do, bro. You listening? You listening to this pod, bro? Like, I hope you're trying to sign Kubali. 61st minute, double sub. Why not? Mata and Fred are replaced by Fellaini and 19-year-old Tahith. Cheech and Chong, mate. Love Tahith Chong. Great to see him. First team debut for Chong. I think it's come a little too late, but obviously we had the troll who shall not be named as our manager, so he did not feature. 63rd minute, another sub. Sanchez pulls off with injury. Looked like the hammy, kind of pointing at it. Rashford replaces him. I was like, give Rashford a rest. Don't get the kid on. Hysterically, Sanchez sits in the manager's chair.
That's great.
This is a great moment. And then Ole's like, yo, bro, get down there. What are you doing?
This is my my chair while I have it, and I'm definitely going to use it, so get the hell out.
Yeah, so hysterical stuff from Sanchez. Point at the hamstring. Hopefully it's not a couple weeks. Hopefully it's just a little twinge, and he's going to be back for Tottenham, mate. Because him coming back in form, we had the momentum under the manager, and we haven't seen Sanchez 100%. So for him to pull up with that injury, I was definitely concerned and haven't heard much on the internet machine about what the status of that is. But I'm sure we'll see in Dubai whether or not he's training.
I mean, I think from what I've heard thus far, it's like he kind of avoided a much bigger injury by getting off early. I mean, Ole was a little pissed because he just did the double sub, and it would have allowed Gardner to feature in this game, which was his intention, apparently. This sub blew that by having to bring on Rashford because Sanchez had to get off early. But I think he should be okay. You know, we got 8 days in the heat of Dubai to get back to fitness. I think he'll be on the bench for sure.
90th minute, Rashford one-on-one with the Reading keeper, tries to round him on the right and then stands on the ball. This reminded me of stuff that you do on the pitch, sir. Skitters hysterically at a play, steps on the ball, laughs. He falls down on his back. He laughs pretty heartily at the mistake. And, you know, he wasn't expecting to play. He comes on, gets a great chance, but again, hey, it was more important that he finishes goals against the EPL opposition. We're up 2 against Reading, so I can't
didn't
really
need
blame
it.
Him.
Yeah. Didn't need it, and I like that attitude. You know, it's like you miss a chance. What are you going to do, bro? Kill yourself over it. 90th minute against Reading, you're going to win. You're moving on.
Get out of your system against Reading, Rashford. That's all I got to say.
It basically summed up the game, bro. It summed up the game. It's like we didn't play well, but we got the win, and that's all that matters.
There you go. That is all she wrote against Reading. We move on to the next round of the FA Cup. It wasn't pretty. Had a lot of changes on the sheet, a lot of youngsters. You know, who we're going to see next year, hard to say. Either way, the boys did the job. So, Ole, again, luck of the Hobbit, I would say here. Post-game jumping in, Ole, quote, "We're going to have some days to recover in Dubai and train hard. If that performance is repeated at Wembley, we are going to get a clean sheet."
We're not going to get a clean sheet.
We are not going to get a clean sheet. Yeah, sir, I missed the... That's
a big knock.
Yeah, so, a knock at the boys, but again, a lot of those players aren't going to start. Like, how many of them will start against Tottenham?
I mean...
Jones?
That might be it. Young?
Yeah, Young. I mean, and also, just to point out, another player we did not discuss at all, Dalot. We did not talk
have
about Dalot.
And he not have a good game, bro.
Came out of the gates hot, but again, he's young. Defensive side of his game.
At least a year,
work.
Bro. At least a year. And he's young, so you might have to say 2 years for him. So right with Valencia probably leaving, he's been touched to AC Milan recently, which probably makes sense. Time to ship him.
That's another contract.
You probably have to buy another, dude. You probably have to get another right back, you know, like a versatile right back that could play right back, left back, because Dalot is not going to be ready, I don't think.
He seems out of depth when it comes to defending. I mean, he looks pretty good going forward, and he knows
he's time.
To
he's
do,
young. He's 19. He's younger than Rashford. Think about that. He's like 2 years younger than Rashford.
Another Mourinho signing. Next quote, Tahith Chong. Quote, "I think the manager has done a brilliant job. I'm not the first one. Angel has had a chance too. For the boys coming through, it's good to see. I think everyone at the youth level can now see these opportunities. Everyone's working even harder now. Hashtag MUFC. This shows, this is Manchester United DNA. Ole's giving these boys a chance, a shout. We're up by 2. Let Chong get out there, get some touches, get his confidence. We're at home. And this is what Manchester United is all about. Bring the youth through, and then you motivate the youth players even more. And that's what Ole is doing, and I think he's a great caretaker manager for the time being. Excellent stuff from Tahith Chong.
Sir, positivity breeds positivity. It's good for all the young lads to know they're going to be given a chance. And it's just about going out there and taking those chances. So good on Chong. I think he'll feature some more sub-appearances moving forward this season.
Oh, I think he should always be on the bench. Match reaction, possession, United 40% to Reading 60%. That's pretty interesting at home for Manchester United. Shots on target, Manchester United 4 to Reading's 5. Man United have lost just one of their last 52 FA Cup games against teams from a lower division. 144, drew 7, losing to Leeds in January 2010.
And so we hate losing to Leeds.
Of course. We hate Leeds scum. We all hate Leeds scum. Man United have won their 5 matches in all competitions under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer so far, their longest consecutive winning run since January 2018. That's 5 games, sir. Excellent from Ole, and he matches, you know, a big record there.
Busby, baby.
Reading are winless in their last 17 games in all competition against Manchester United. They've drawn 4. They've lost 13, losing each of the last 6 in a row. So Reading, get packing, Biscuiteers, the Biscuit Men.
Enjoy League One,
changing
bro.
Their name. Enjoy League One, hey. But we might see them again, maybe in a decade, 2 decades. We'll see. Manchester United's Alexis Sanchez has been directly involved in 18 goals in 19 FA Cup games. That's 9 goals, 9 assists.
Pretty good.
He needs to be doing a little more for Manchester United, and especially in the league. And Romelu Lukaku has scored 13 goals in his last 13 FA Cup appearances, including 6 and 7 for Manchester United. Again, we always talk about Lukaku's goal record overall when it comes to all opposition. But for Manchester United this season, not doing too well compared to his past. And same with Sanchez. Those two players, the amount of goals that they have scored in the English Premier League, between the two of them, if you look at the percentage that's for Manchester United, it's very low compared to the other teams. And we need to get them firing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of because they're new signings and they've been at this club a much shorter period than their previous clubs.
Lukaku's almost like 18 months, Sanchez almost a year. It's like, compared
to Sanchez,
Arsenal,
has been
he's never had this.
Sanchez has been completely barren. I mean, Lukaku is like not having the best start to the season, but he's still our top goal scorer.
Yeah, if you take their average seasons with
Sanchez
other teams,
Sanchez has been abysmal, bro.
I mean, and then the last, you compare it,
he's had like 3 goals for Manchester United.
I know,
like not nearly enough. Lukaku's better, but he's also had a slow start to the season. I think you're going to see a lot more goals in the second half than the first half. But they got to be scoring more goals, and I think that's why
exactly.
You see both these gentlemen are going to be on the bench for a game against Spurs.
Yeah, but when you look at those goals or records, they're with other teams as well. So you see,
yeah,
it's
right.
A mix, and you see how hot they are, and it's like, man, they should be starting for Manchester United, but they're coming off the bench, and that shows kind of the form that, you know, the likes of Rashford and Martial are in, which is good. Next news point: Manchester United's Juan Mata has been directly involved in 21 goals and 24 starts in the FA Cup, 10 goals, 11 assists. Juan Mata called the start. He's class up front, can really hold together when the young lads are in the squad, especially FA Cup game. Again, his contract is up. Do we sign Juan Mata? What do you think?
I don't know, sir. Depends what kind of money he's on. Depends on who else we're looking at signing.
Where else would he go? I mean, he's not going to
go to Spain, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Probably go like play in Valencia again. Or, you know, he probably like he could definitely do a job, bro. He still has plenty of years left in him. I don't know if he could play the highest level in the Premier League. He's not a starter for us. But for me, I think he's like, he knows the United way. He loves the club. He's useful. I mean, he's still useful to have.
He's a utility player.
If you can get him on reasonable money, I'd rather have him around, ship a what's-a-face. Ship a Fellaini. Sad to say it. Ship a Fellaini. Keep Piera.
Ship a what's-a-fro.
Yeah, what's-a. Used to be a fro.
FA Cup draw is tomorrow. The big hitters we can get, obviously, Liverpool play mañana, but the big hitters who qualify that we can get: City, Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal, and of course, Queen Park Raisins.
Don't forget
Shout
the Raisins.
Out to LVG. What a great stadium. Highly recommend going to Queen's Park if you've ever in London can afford a championship match.
Dark Gale,
couple quid.
Bro. Proper Brexit stadium.
jump into the Twitter's verse at United Extra. Paul Pogba has not fully recovered from the injury he sustained at Newcastle and has stayed back for treatment. He will rejoin the squad in Dubai soon.
Soon.
Hashtag MUFC. So Pogba not with the boys right now. I don't know if it's that big of an injury. Again, he probably just gets the Paul Pogba treatment, gets his own private jet.
That's what
I thought.
I was like, he's just going down a day later and just going to fly private, have his own plane.
And this is probably why him and Mourinho didn't get along. It's because he likes to do things like this. But again, Paul P., he's in good form for United, and as long as he scores 2 against Tottenham.
As long as he scores a brace against Spurs,
it doesn't
matter. We'll buy you a plane, bro.
Doesn't matter. Next tweet, @AZ_07. Old Trafford sounding good. You know, hashtag MUFC. Unbelievable atmosphere if you watch the game. It seems like overnight, United, the Old Trafford has gotten its voice back. And under Mourinho kept trying to egg on the fans, cheer louder, we don't hear you. And, you know, all they needed to do was kick him out. Now the fans are back on board the hype train, and It's a rocking atmosphere. We hope to be going soon to watch PSG at home. But since the boys...
Fingers crossed, bro.
Since we have fired Mourinho, the demand for these tickets has gone through the roof.
Dude, up, you know? All day. It's like you used to, a month ago, tickets were very easy to get. Now, it's going to cost an arm and a leg,
bro. It's going to be a big draw. I mean, we have our ticket draw in, but we'll see if we get them. Next tweet, at United Report. Since World War II, 464 players have featured for Manchester United. 49% of them came from the club's academy. Hashtag MU Live.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable stat. This is in our DNA, youth coming through. And Tahith Chong, another great debut. Thought we were going to see Greenwood. Didn't see Greenwood. I think Ole had a quote in the papers saying that Greenwood, get ready for Reading. He did not feature him. I thought he would start him, actually.
Maybe he's not ready. But he needed to give minutes to Lukaku and Sanchez. Martinez minutes, so maybe there wasn't enough depth to provide a seat on the bench for him, but he'll get his chance, bro.
Yeah, a few critiques on the new manager.
Can we just focus on the fact that we've had 49% of our players have come from the club's academy since World War II, and over that time...
That's not minutes.
That's, of course, not. Players.
So let's get through, it's just an N of players, which is kind of biased.
But it's still an incredible statistic for the most successful club in English history over that time period, right?
Oh, you're right.
You
could tilt the horn. You could blow the horn there.
Class 92. Let's toot that horn, bro. That's an unbelievable stat. Trust me. Chelsea don't have that stat. City don't have that stat.
Yeah, Chelsea scum. Yeah, hello.
Don't get me started. Destroy Pulisic.
At _Rob_B, Lukaku has always been the type of striker who needs the ball played in front of him. Under the last manager, he played with his back to goal too much, exposing his first touch. But the lad can finish. His stats prove that, so let's play to people's strength.
Bingo.
There you go. I had to get a pro Lukaku tweet
Thank
in here
you, appreciate
for you, sir.
It. But it's true. You got to play to his strengths because he's quick on the ball. He's a good finisher. His hold-up play is not bad, but if it's all you're doing is hold-up, which is the way Mourinho used to like to play him.
It was good last year. His hold-up play was great. He had a bunch of assists.
His hold-up in this game was pretty good, too. Yeah. I mean, he just like...
This season is not a season. It's not a season this season.
He's turning around, bro. I have a good feeling the second half's going to be.
Some players need a season like this. Come back next year, score 30, 35. Next tweet, at United Extra. It took VAR 2 minutes and 5 seconds to come to his decision. Do you think this process needs speeding up? I think the VAR, and coming from the American sport perspective, right? We have had replay in the NFL for how many years? Like a decade now? We've had it in all of our sports. And I don't think the replay helps it much. I think it focuses the game on really kind of fringe calls. And I think in England, the VAR's been pretty good so far. And that's why I think they're releasing it in the EPL in 2019, 2020. So next year, if you don't like it, it is coming no matter what. And it was used pretty well in the World Cup. I thought there could be a ton of gaffes in the World Cup. There were none. So I think that's why now VAR is being used. All these cup competitions, all these leagues. At the same time, like in the NFL, the whole debate of what is a catch, because you're watching a slow-mo catch motion, what's
it.
All this? And with VAR, it's going to be what is a handball? Like in the World Cup, we saw what is a deliberate movement of the arm versus just your arm gets hit with the ball. So there's going to be way more handballs called, way more penalties called because of VAR. There's going to be way more stoppages now in the EPL.
And there are a ton of penalties in the World Cup because of VAR, right? There are a ton of penalties given.
Yeah, and the fans are going to be forced to debate what is a handball, what is a deliberate motion of the arm, and getting into all these rules on top of rules on top of rules that are going to cost your team critical points in the league versus just was it a goal or not. And we saw the goal line technology in the game. We'll talk about that in a minute. And that is a must-have, right? Because there's no way a ref can call a goal or not goal. Technology works. It's black and white. It's fast. You look at your watch. Was it a goal? Yes or no? But when you start getting into the situation at Reading where it was like, was it offside? Was it a penalty? So many things are being answered in this
review. They got it right.
Review.
They didn't get it right in a way that you wouldn't be able to get it from open play.
You ask a Reading fan what they think. They think it's BS, right? Well, there's too many things to evaluate, right?
And we'll have calls go against us. But I think the ultimate reason that this will be more of a success than it has been under NFL, which in my mind, destroyed the NFL for me. Like the NFL was already on the ropes, but then they added this element so they can break down every call, whereas there's less calls to be made because of the nature of the game, right? In football, there's always a decision made.
Yeah, but
a
coach has to challenge, right? So there is actually a limited amount of these you can do, but VAR is like anything, right?
I know, but there's just less decisions. It's like handballs, penalties, a red card too, but that's basically it. Whereas like football, I feel like there's always an opportunity to challenge a play.
Yeah, well, so if VAR exists, will the Shelvey challenge be a red?
Should be.
Yeah, right. It's probably it would be, right? So it will affect matches. I do think it's going to be controversial. In the EPL, there's too many games played every weekend for it not to be. There's going to be a lot more stoppages. I didn't like the stoppage in the game.
It was too long.
The way the flow of the game, it ruined the flow for me. And
I like the decision.
Clearly I like the decision.
I love the decision. But anyway, it's going to have issues, bro. Without a doubt. It's going to have issues. We're going to get calls that are turned over. For the worst for United fan.
So what's a call this year? It's like there's only one call really as a history of United as a fan that I can see that VAR would have fixed.
Nani red card, bro.
No, the Nani red card, the Drogba offsides goal that led to their title, I want to say like 7 years ago, that was actually the one call. Drogba was offsides, Chelsea scored a goal, they got 3 points from that goal at the end of the game, and he was offsides. That would not have counted. We would have won the league. That actually cost us the league. But as far as this year, what would VAR help with? Like, there's no call that it stands out to me. In 10 years, I could pick one. You know, they're not a red card. I mean, to me, it seems too intrusive in the game when there isn't really an issue.
With goal line technology, there was an issue.
Goal line helps.
That's been a big progress, but I think this helps.
Like, what is an issue? The Shelby red, not given.
Like, those red cards aren't given, right?
Well, name
one. Shelby. Should get a three-match ban, get a red card. That's that, dude. It should have been VAR right then. This penalty in this game should have been a penalty, and we deserve to get a penalty, and we did because of VAR. We wouldn't have done it otherwise.
If this penalty was...
There's little things add up. They might not be as like monumental as the Drogba offside, but they little adds up.
I just think the game is fine the way it is right now. There's not like... With goal line technology, before then, there were so many goals that were goals that weren't called, and everyone was like freaking out. Every year, there'd be an issue. But this year... With the VAR, I don't think there's any outstanding issues in the way the games are called. Sometimes you miss a call, but that's the way refereeing is. I just don't think it's solving anything. It's too intrusive not to solve something that's broken.
I think they're making bad calls that like have a massive influence on the game based on how low scoring soccer is. That you need VAR.
More penalties is not better for the game.
If they're deserved, it is. If like they should be getting a penalty, then they should be getting a penalty. You know, I want.
We shall see. This is going to play itself out, a hot debate.
It's going to help us and hurt us, bro.
We're going to do well
because of VAR. We're going to burn because of VAR.
Don't touch the game. Human error is great. I love human error. As far as just you know,
depends on where it goes. Depends on who got the error.
All right, we have Alex's Daily Mail headlines tomorrow. Today, sir, hit us with your headlines,
sir. First one is not pretty, but job done. On to the next round. This is a classic Fergie win. You know, like put out a second team, play some youth, do whatever it takes to get a win, get a penalty, and then a nice goal from Lukaku. But, sir, job done is all that matters. You gave some players some rest. All the players you wanted to rest for the Spurs game got rest. Rashford had to come on for the last 30, but Matic got a rest. Pogba got a rest. Herrera got a rest. Lingard got a rest. That's what you want. Job done. The Red Army keeps marching on, baby.
Perfect. Here's with the next one.
Ole's perfect start. 5-5. Matches Busby. I'm about to buzz.
Hype train's full, sir. We're ready to rock.
Dude, now it's time to beat Busby's record, right? Because you lose against Spurs. You lose against the game that's like his first real test. But you beat him, bro. You beat Spurs. Huge test for us. We've lost 3 of the last 4 games against Spurs. So we need to beat them. And Ole needs to show everyone why he should be the full-time manager for Manchester United moving forward.
I ain't that far in the hype train, dude.
He wins it.
Don't drink too much Kool-Aid, sir.
I love Kool-Aid, bro.
All right, next headline.
Sun is shining. It's time for some warm weather training in Dubai. I think this is like perfect timing. Coming into one of the biggest matches of the year for us. They're all the biggest matches of the year. But get the boys some warm weather. I'm sure the weather's not far off from what San Francisco's like today, dude. Wet, cold, don't want to be outside playing soccer. But in Dubai, it's like nice and warm, nice and dry. Sounds good.
Do you think traveling is worth it right now with the boys? It's like, why didn't they train indoors?
4 nights. Because you get fields. You can play outside longer. It's like you get the real game time experience. I think this makes sense. You have enough time, right? You have a Saturday morning game. They flew out Saturday night. And the game at Spurs is not until Sunday, so this is great. 4 days, four nights,
still,
5 days.
The jet lag kind of jacks you up.
But
they're not coming from
California; they're coming from UK, so it's like 4 hours. It's not as bad.
Okay, you know, it's like I just think, you know, play in the rain, train in the rain, like you know, cold, miserable. Like,
but
that's
they don't
want to
be out.
You
can sit in 4 hours outside versus 2. Right, because of the weather.
They should spend more time outside. They're making the money. They should be like cold and wet.
No sympathy for our players.
No sympathy.
He's
like, yeah, I'm old school English. You know,
yeah,
old
well,
school English.
Yeah, put those tackles in, bro.
Breakfast.
No VAR. I love it.
Yeah, no VAR. Just give me that human error. It's worked so far 20 times. Why change it up right now?
There you go.
You know what I would like, of all the things I do want them to fix, is the stoppage time.
That's a
joke. So of all the things that need to be fixed, I don't think VAR is an issue. There needs to be like a live clock on the screen that calculates stoppage time and that it's actually given to the referee and it's stopped on the second, so that this whole like arbitrary addition of time, like we got screwed at Chelsea, you know, into the final minute.
Liverpool getting 5 minutes for no reason against City. Like all of a sudden they get 5 minutes.
Of all the things that need to be fixed, it's stoppage time. That's and there should be like a buzzer at the end of the game when the stoppage time is up, and it should be out of the referee's hands. Instead, it's this arbitrary time. He blows the whistle. It's to me, I'm going to petition the Premier League for that. So we'll keep you tuned. I'll let you guys, we'll create a petition. You guys can sign it. But stoppage time for me, we need like a buzzer beater, like, you know, American sports. We got to bring some America.
Work on that, sir.
Premier League.
Sir, write a letter to the FA, see what they think.
Some exact time. We're getting hype because it's January, and that means we're jumping into the January transfer muppetry, sir.
Don't get your hopes up, sir.
We are linked to plenty of defenders. Our defense is in shambles. Crap. I've seen tweets online of people saying, hey, we don't need any players. We're fine. Manchester United, we
Who
won
said
five
that?
Games.
Who said that? I think we're rolling, but I still think we need center backs.
There's a camp, and I replied on Twitter, have you seen our defense? So,
Phil Jones?
Sir, you are the head scout here at the American Red Devils. You know, let us know, who are we going after? Who do you rate? What do you think can actually get done? Woodward has his work cut out for him. We should sign a center back. If we don't, that's two windows without Woody.
So there's a lot of names on this list. We can start with the top. These are the ones that Ed Woodward identifies two Manchester United transfer targets. This is according to Manchester Evening News.
They're like tier two and a half, right?
Maybe three, bro. But this is the one that like Kaboli and Skinner, right? So AC Milan Skinner and Kalidou Koulibaly from Napoli. Obviously, we've all heard about Koulibaly. We know how we feel on him. Koulibaly's basically top three, top five best center backs in the world, right? You're going to pay top dollar, but he's 27. You know what you're getting. He's going to be bang on starter for the next 5 years and be one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, so if you play FIFA Ultimate Team.
He's like a beast. Dude, he's so good in FIFA. I mean, if he's anywhere as good
one,
in FIFA, we'll be fine.
He makes Van Dijk look normal. So he's the number one like physical specimen we could get. He has the physical talent. He has played well in the Champions League. He is the number one rated player that I think Manchester United should sign. Splash 100 million. Break the record. Let everyone know United's here and we're serious to play and we're ready to get rid of Phil Jones, most importantly. So I would rate Kalidou Koulibaly. And I've heard things that if we can't get him this window, we'll get him next window. But still, we need someone that he could play with. So I do think regardless, we should sign someone up and then get him in the summer window if Napoli wants to hold on to him.
So he's like in one camp, right? Elite. Beyond elite, you're going to have to break the transfer record for a defender to sign him. He's like, he stands alone if you look at our short list of defenders that we've been attached to. Nobody else compares to Koulibaly, bro. He's like the best you get, but the most you have to pay, and it's going to be probably a prolonged transfer just to get it done because of the complexity and the amount of money involved. Then there's like the tier two, which is like the Skinners and...
Skriniar.
Skinner. And who's the other guy, the Serbian they were attached to, whose name is now escaping
Salikovic.
Me. Right? They're like 23 to 21, more potential, probably like slightly similar vein to
probably
a...
50 mil.
Yeah, probably 50 to 45 mil. You're going to have to put a little bit of work in, but they have like all the potential in the world, but they're not bang on starting tomorrow. And they're definitely not like best, you know, top class center back in the league tomorrow, but... We probably need one of each, in my mind. Lucas Hernandez, another one that we've all of a sudden been attached to. Everyone said he was going to Bayern. Plays at Atletico now. He's like, plays left back, also left center back, but he's
a stud, French
bro.
Connection as well.
Stud, stud, stud. The fact that we're hearing from him now makes you think that like Bayern has always been attached to him for the last 6 months since the World Cup. Now they probably are getting a little cheap. Hernandez wants more money. United will pay top dollar to anyone who wants
to
come
he
here.
He looks like a must-have. The
intensity he's so good.
He plays,
he's very good.
Like, we watched some highlight videos here at the ruthless scouting process at the American Red Devils. A lot of techno YouTube videos, but the tackles he puts in is just like something that has to be seen in the EPL. So if you guys don't know who Lucas Hernandez is, look him up on YouTube. I would say he's probably top dog. He can play left back. He can play left center back. I think he'd be a great pairing with Koulibaly. Again, we need an overhaul of the defense. And look no further than Liverpool, right? They have like a stud center back as far as Van Dijk is concerned, and then a complete tool in Lovren, and still they have the best defense in the league. So that one world-class center back can make a Phil Jones or a Chris Smalling look elite, right? Because it takes the pressure off. It takes the pressure off set pieces, takes the pressure off going backwards, and then a player like Lucas Hernandez, who's dangerous going forward, a lot of pace, can have that room to run when you got Kubali at the back shoring things up. So, again, not exciting to talk about defensive signings, but we look so good going forward.
These days, sir, I would get a Kubali, you know, bro, I'd be like 2-2-2 in that shit.
Yeah,
all day.
Watch a few YouTube videos of defensive highlights. I mean, you're really getting deep at that point. You know?
We're in it. We're full. We're going
like,
all
great,
the way.
Great tackle. Good clearance. Good pass. It's just one of those things where, you know, we are stacked going forward, and we got to shore up the back. So that's been a constant here. And, you know, there's one more center back, sir.
Yeah, the last one being, this is all of a sudden recent, last 4 days, I would say, is Roma center back Kostas Manolos. He's got a $32 million buyout clause. So I know our boy Eddie likes the sound of that, likes to get a cheap deal. I'm good on Manolos, bro. It's like, I'd rather get an Alderweireld. I know he's a little older, but he's...
Sir, are you hating on the Greeks?
Sir, who's the best Greek center back, bro?
I watched a video as well. Greek national looks scrappy. You know, it doesn't matter if you come from Serbia, all your fucking murder. Yeah. We just need a scrappy center back that'll play for the badge, has no concern for any physical harm going forward, and goes into tackles with like complete conviction in the EPL. That's what we want to see out of any defender. So if it's Manolos, great. If not, you know, who do you know? But for us, anything's better than what we got. Look at Phil Jones face diving at the weekend. And
it's Reading, bro.
Yeah, it's tough times.
I mean, ideal world, this is not going to happen, fans. So don't even get excited, but I'm going to get myself excited because that's what I do. You get Lucas Hernandez and Kubali, bro, and you're like, good. You're like, you ship at least Rojo
like
and probably
50.
Jones. Yeah, buck 50, basically, and your money. Your money for a
pounds.
While, bro, and then you got, yeah, pounds, but whatever. You spend like 90 on Kubali and 60 on Hernandez and just be like, we're good.
You make a pulley look cheap.
Yeah, worth it, though.
All right, that's our January transfer. Muppetry, as far as tier goes here, just a touch on that. I mean, this is all smoke here. There's no real solid links. DiMarzo hasn't come out.
Kubali is the closest because the odds have been getting cut last week. So if there's one that might have legs, it's Kubali. He's in Dubai right now.
Yeah, big money. And him and Pogba have kind of shared messages via social media, which right now in 2019...
That shit's tier zero, bro.
That's tier zero. So as far as the sources go, there's a lot of smoke at defenders. I think Woodward likes a smoke screen, like to be in for a lot of players. We haven't talked about Alderweireld either. But as far as Manchester United goes, we're going to be linked with so many players always. And we can always hope... But again, we hoped last summer we would buy a center back, and we did not get Slabhead or Alderweireld. That's a crime. Ed Woodward should be in jail.
So, just last piece, because we're on it. The next big signing is going to be a center back. And the last time we did something like that, it was Rio, bro. We like blew out the books by Rio, one of the best Manchester United signings ever, because sometimes that's what you need. And you know what? I hate to give Scousers credit, but that's what they figured out they needed. It's like our defense sucks. Sign the best center back you can get. And now they're like, the defense looks like lights out. They make Lovren look like class, bro.
As we've seen throughout the years, quality, not quantity, in your transfer strategy works best. I mean, we saw Tottenham sell Bale, bring in 8 players. I think they kept maybe one of them. It's like Lamella. He's on the
hanging
bench.
Around.
I mean, like, whenever you buy a lot and try to get value across the board, it doesn't work out. We saw the LVG bought a lot. Didn't really work out, right? So quality... For United, we're a world-class side. We need quality over quantity, Woody. But you don't need to hear from me. I'm sure you got a bunch of people yelling at you.
Yeah, who's telling you?
United in the news, sir. Let's jump into it. This is an interesting article here. American Red Devils, something we need to address. Child game day ambassadors have to pay for the right to walk out with the players. And these are various sources talking that the sum of 700, 800 pounds for those kids on the field. So for the American fans who are not used to the ambassadors, these are the little kids that hold hands with the first team as they walk out on the field for each match. And I always thought that these were like, you know, like youth soccer players or, you know, charity.
Or troubled youths.
Charity organization. Just like when we thought the NFL did all the military display as part of
just for the hell of it.
Just like charity for like supporting the military, support America. No, the military was paying them. Turns out these child ambassadors are being paid.
Their parents are paying.
Parents are paying like upwards of 800 pounds to get these kids on the pitch. I mean, that's a bad look. That's a bad look. These kids that are on the field, because I always thought to myself, who are these kids? They must come from like a terrible house situation.
You know,
they're just like rich kids. getting put on the field with their favorite players and the clubs, Eddie Woodward, grabbing the 800 pounds, you know, so it's
free
like...
Free money, baby. So that makes a lot of sense because there's a lot of like chubby checker little kids that wouldn't have been there if it was like struggling Utes. So...
Utes!
It's Utes, bro. They're called Utes. That's what I grew up calling them. They're called Utes. But like, this is just modern day football, bro. It's a cash grab.
Oh my God. Well, hey, I thought that was a funny point because I've watched the EPL for over 10 years, and to see that line, I had no idea. But great article there. Next point of news here. Brahim Diaz to Real Madrid. Man City insert anti-Manchester United clause per sources. And so City's doing a transfer, and they're actually saying you can't sell to Manchester United. Interesting. City will also receive 15% of any selling fee through the Premier League champions. And they've inserted that clause saying no Manchester United. So
it'll rise to 40%, right? So the 15% sell-on fee will rise to 40 if they sell to United. Just trying to dissuade Real from eventually shipping this player to United. Because, dude, at the end of the day, all they think about is us. Noisy neighbor, we are the neighbor.
Contracts have gotten way cheekier. Before, it was the Spanish clubs that would do all this contract nonsense. Now it's coming to England, especially with this, you know, rise in sell-on fee to Manchester United. Clearly, City feels like they've gotten burnt with Sanchez, all these other players coming in, even though they've won the league. I don't necessarily like this. I think that there has to be UEFA, FIFA. Someone's going to have to put all these, like, reduce these contract burdens on players because it's kind of getting a little Looney Tunes right now. And United, we haven't been doing this. The buyback clauses in Zaha aren't there. A lot of players that we'd probably bring back, if they worked out, we're not doing that because our contracts weren't that savvy. Eddie, I'm looking at you. We got burnt on Zaha pretty bad, and you were at the helm, so.
He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's doing.
He has no idea.
This is actually, people think this is a direct, like, reboof to the Sancho. It's like, we're after, so Sancho is like academy lad from City, went to Dortmund, and now is like tearing it up. Literally bumped Pulisic from his spot, 18-year-old, and like tied in the league for assists. And apparently we're going after him hard to the hoop, and City is not like that. So this
City of the new Chelsea, right? A lot of youth going away. Yeah, and
they don't play him. They just loan him out.
And they actually recently signed, I forget the... Foden signed for City. They thought he was going to go away, just re-signed a new deal. James Foden, and he's upcoming English talent. Again, people mad that he re-signed because he needs more game time. Young players need more game time, and at City, he's not getting it. I don't think the managers like Pep or Jose really care about youth.
They just care about winning, bro.
He should come over to Manchester United, the red side of Manchester. We'll next article, Jose Mourinho, ex-girlfriend, still talking about her.
Two more weeks of this.
Two more weeks. Turns down Benfica and rules out quick return to football management following Manchester United's sacking. Per the Daily Mail, I think he'd just rather watch Ole run the show at Manchester United. So
he's just enjoying that Donald Duck swimming in cash, bro. I think he's going to Real Madrid in the summer. So Benfica, he's like, how much can you pay?
It's not Donald Duck. Donald
That's
Duck
what I
is
the one,
broke
the one,
as a joke.
The one that has all the gold, bro. Which one's that? Is that
DuckTales?
Yeah, basically, that's Mourinho.
Next article. Sorry, you putting this one in just to be cheeky. Manchester United's Phil Jones suffers friction burn on his forehead after face planting on Old Trafford turf during FA Cup win over Reading. Oh, Phil Jones.
Please.
Face burn. He's going to be out at least two matches just because he doesn't want to play with that. Either way, there's a great photo of him floating around the internet. I'm sure you've seen it if you've been on the Twittersverse. It's just face down in the turf. Phil Jones is exactly where he likes to be. He's there too often. Get him out. That's what I say.
So there's a photo of him on the plane flying to Dubai with just this big red mark across his forehead. That's the real good photo.
Hey,
Look that one up.
He puts everything on the pitch. You know, he puts everything on the pitch, but he probably should be doing that for, you know, an Aston Villa.
Sunderland.
Something like, yeah. Sunderland till I die, mate. Fulham tell Timothy Fosu-Mensah he can return to Manchester United. Apparently, Fosu-Mensah looks set to return to Old Trafford following a disappointing loan spell at Craven Cottage. A lot of things not going right for that club. Fosu-Mensah gets sent back. He has like a hardcore fan group as far as Manchester United fans are concerned. What do you rate Fosu-Mensah? You know, you think he's meant for the team? Think we should send him on? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he got like overshadowed by Bamasaka, who is the stud right back.
Bamasaka,
who we should also buy. We should probably buy him. I bought him on my career mode. He's really good, and he kind of like took his spot at the end of last season. But Fosu-Mensah, bro, is younger than Rashford. He is super athletic. Awareness has let him down, right? His decision-making has let him down. Definitely shares commonality with Phil Jones in that regard. But super athletic, for me, bro, it's like Valencia looks worthless. I mean, I would bring Fosu Mensah back and have him.
How dare you? He's our captain, sir.
He looked
captain.
Last game he played, he looked like.
I know.
Look like you playing, bro. Like, we're lucky. Just a lot of sideways passing. Get Fosu Mensah in, bro, because I'd have him competing with DeLow and Young and even Darmian, because we don't have a lot of depth there, and he's
he's play him at center back in the FA Cup.
Sir,
why not?
He's athletic. Twanzebe's the player I like, dude. Twanzebe, I think, has a real shot. He's doing really good stuff at Aston Villa. I thought he looked way better than Fosu Mensah in preseason, and I think he'll be a squad center back next year.
Hey, we can only hope for that better defense is coming. A little off topic here for the American Red Devils, but this
on
is
brand.
Hot take news. Wayne Rooney, the Manchester United legend, leading goal scorer for England and Manchester United, arrested for drunken behavior at Dulles Airport. Dulles, mate. If you've ever been to Dulles Airport, you know. That's probably a reason to have a few pints.
It'd make you want to get drunk. The cheeky rumor is that he was watching United play. Which is any reason. Hey, if you listen to Holiday Hot Take, sometimes United makes you want to get up for it.
Wayne Rooney.
Bro, but like, Wayne this Rooney. Is just like a, I mean, I think they're having this issue in like across Europe. Especially
according
like,
to
in the UK is like English fans, English tourists just getting like way turned up at the airport and then just like being absolutely handbound on planes.
So you know the, if you guys watch South Park, you're familiar with it, the Russell Crowe's fighting around the world. It's like Wayne Rooney drinking around
like
the world. Like
just starting shit with other scousers.
He's just like, according to reports, Rooney was arrested at Dulles International Airport, which is located in Northern Virginia, suburbs of Washington, after a return trip to Saudi Arabia, where he attended the opening race of Formula E near Riyadh.
Well, that's
so
it, bro.
He was,
you
like, getting
get a,
drunk on the return.
Can't get a pint. Can't get a pint in Saudi Arabia. So he's just making up for what? When he got into the airport, just like,
yeah,
you want to go home yet?
He was taken into custody on charge of public intoxication stemming from an arrest by the Metropolitan Washington Airport's Authority Police. So you got the rent-a-cops in the airport. Rooney probably shouting them down. They probably have no idea who he is. He's charged with a Class 4 misdemeanor, which carries a maximum fine of $250.
Well, that's tough.
I think he'll be fine. Rooney, obviously, he led DC United to the playoffs in his first season before they suffered a first-round loss. He won the club MVP as well. Things have been going great for Wayne Rooney. He came to America. You thought he was putting the fighting around the world behind him, but he comes out with
it
a couple
dies,
pints,
bro.
Man. Wayne Rooney.
You take the lad out of Liverpool, but you can't take the Liverpool out of the lad. Look at that photo, bro.
Hey, the mugshot, he actually looks...
Hair looks good.
His hair looks great in the mugshot.
His eyes look a little
that.
Bloodshot, bro.
Wayne Rooney, clean it up, mate. You know, you could lose a few pounds. Your career is going great in the United States, but again, always get to, like to see a Wayne Rooney drinking around the world.
Won't slow him down, bro. Won't slow him down.
At least it wasn't a DUI in a VW bus with some random from a pub in England. What was that, a year and a half ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, if you watch Sunderland Till You Die, you know.
what would compel you to do that kind of behavior? You know, it does happen.
Happens around the footballing world. And obviously, me and Alex were talking, the cultural difference in how drunk you're allowed to get in England at a bar versus America. Much different.
So basically, unless you're smashing glasses or starting a fight, it's like, there, you're allowed to just continue as you are.
Yeah, that's like what Wayne Rooney was probably just doing, like classic English pub drinking.
Probably wasn't that drunk.
Dulles, and they kick him out. And if you're a pub in England, you're just like, oh, right on in.
Come on in. Get some chips.
All right. Fan question. Andy from Arvada, Colorado. We've gotten a few questions on this topic we wanted to address. Question, how do you guys watch all the games if they're not on TV this season with NBC Sports Gold blacking out the fixtures? Clearly, NBC came in.
Blew it.
They said, we love soccer. We're going to give all the fans online streaming for free. And then what do? They create NBC Sports Gold, which blacks out some of the fixtures, making you have to pay to stream all the games. That's a crime. They make a killing on all the advertising. How much money do they really make charging some sort of fee? The way things are going, they should know that it's all going to be free. The internet is the future, and
yeah,
they should
greedy.
Make their money with ads. They should make people would watch 3 pre-rolled ads, 4, 5,
they
whatever.
Have. They already make you watch all those you know, awful Chevrolet ads. So
if we didn't get enough Chevrolet on the shirts, I don't like. NBC came in; they've done a great job. A lot of people, I'm sure you guys like them. You like Rebecca Lowe, you like Robbie, whatever. Like for me, doesn't get as good as the good old British feed.
So tell them, how do we
do
it, sir?
Sky Sports.
How do we find it, sir?
The BT Sport. I want the OG announcers. Arlo White. Kind of sick
bro.
Of him.
You want Sky.
You're an NBC guy.
I switched. Well, explain to Andy how we do it. Because once I found out from John how you do it and you get the proper English feed. So I was good on NBC. NBC Sports are so anti-United, first of all, and they were so anti-Mourinho that, like, I made the switch this season because I just couldn't stand it anymore.
They don't do a terrible job, but for those who don't know, and if you get it on your regular cable package, you go on the internet, reddit.com/r/soccerstreams, or you can just Google Reddit soccer streams. Every day there's a game, they just list a different Reddit feed for any game that you can stream. So there's different ways to stream. Obviously, they have links you can click on, which you have to close a bunch of pop-ups. Make sure to turn off your pop-up blocker. You can stream it in a website. Or I prefer Ace Stream, which is a P2P streaming service. And you get a link code, which is basically Ace Stream plus a bunch of digits. And you copy that into the Ace Stream player. If you don't know how to do that, there's plenty of videos on YouTube. And you get to stream the game in HD from Sky Sports or BT Sport. You get Gary Neville. You get the legendary commentators from the other side of the pond, which I have to say, as an American fan, I think they do it right. And it's a great way to watch the games. I completely cut the cord as far as cable's concerned. As far as I just have to get the BBC commentary, or not the British commentary, the OG commentary, sir. How would you compare it to like Rebecca Lowe and all those guys? Because I'm sure a lot of our listeners,
they're not bad.
Big NBC,
bro. They're not bad. NBC did a service, right? It brought a lot of soccer into the American home on a regular basis with pretty good coverage. But it's still, at the end of the day, it's like Canadians covering American football.
I prefer their studio team. Like Rebecca Lowe, Robbies. I actually like their commentary. They're good. They break
Arlo
it down.
Arlo is like fair, bro. Arlo White and that other guy.
The Chelsea player.
Those Chelsea chumps.
Like, as far as the game commentary, it's decent. It's better than I've ever seen.
Better than Fox, bro.
Fox soccer was it was like Alexi Law. It's like, whoa, what's going on? Like, hello, great soccer. From years, I think this is the best we've seen in America. So stick with NBC if it's on. If not, and it's NBC Sports Gold, up yours, NBC Sports Gold. Go to Reddit Soccer Streams. You always can find a quality stream. You can pick your commentary. Sometimes they have NBC, they have BT Sport, whatever you want, but you can get it at the OG. And if you haven't watched the game or you want to watch the match of the day, which I highly recommend, go to reddit.com/r/footballhighlights, and they post all the British shows in HD with links after, obviously, they're on air. They don't stream these live. You can rewatch any match you want in HD with any feed you want, and you can watch the match of the day, all the Premier League live shows,
extended highlights,
break it down. Yeah,
all that good
stuff.
It's great.
And so that's kind of the Bible for streaming as a Manchester United fan. Our next question, we got this question from multiple American Red Devils listeners on Twitter. Who's going to win the league? Obviously, there's a huge match. We haven't talked about it this week, Thursday, Liverpool versus City, and it was the only day I saw a lot of tweets. The only day that a Manchester United fan could ever root for Manchester City, but man, City pulled it out, sir. They came back 2-1. Sané with a legendary strike. I will have to say, Sané, great player for City.
He's class.
I don't think Pep likes him too much. We should maybe get in there, pick him up. But again, this is great to see all the Liverpool fans. They are riding so high. Buying all Klopp's bullshit.
Talking about
the best
bro.
Team in Europe. All this. God. We hate Liverpool. Hate Liverpool.
More than anyone.
Hate Liverpool. And they blew it. And now that it's a title race, which is something as a neutral, I want to see a tight title race going all the way. It's been a while since we've seen that. I think the last one was Leicester, Tottenham, maybe. Chelsea ran away with it. City ran away with it. So I want to see Liverpool choke slowly. And as far as who's going to win the league, let's check in with the bookies, sir. Liverpool to win the league, -125. They are the favorite. City to win the league, +120. Manchester United to win the league, +28,500.
Cheeky, mate.
Arsenal win the league. Get this, +47,000.
Yeah, they ain't winning shit, bro. At least we got a chance.
We're behind Arsenal, and Arsenal's 2-1. That's because there's a lot of Manchester United fans betting. It's probably because there's a lot of money on Manchester United.
Always.
And that's the way the betting markets work. But, I mean, that City to win the league +120, that looks pretty easy money considering that City took it to them, that intensity. They looked the better side, Liverpool. I think Klopp actually flinched as far as his lineup was concerned. He changed things up to how they were playing, and great to see Liverpool go down in flames. But who is your team to win the league?
I'm rooting for City, unfortunately. Hate rooting for City. But in the scheme of things, all Manchester United fans are going to remember it's like 18 versus 20 or 20 versus 5. Dude, City only have 5 leagues. Liverpool have 18. They're much closer in terms of being a big, big club that are on our heels. So you got to always root against Liverpool, even
it's
if
the
it
world
burns
versus
you,
Liverpool.
Dude. I was cheering on Sané. That's kind of a weird feeling. But it's also good for the league. It's going to be more exciting at the end. It's going to be more exciting for us in the top four race. Dude, it's like all bets are off now. But I think City's my team, the team that you think like I put the money on. But Liverpool still got to choke, bro, because they still have a lead. But Liverpool
four
are
points.
They are historic chokers.
I think Liverpool is going to choke big time. And I looked at the fixtures for both sides. I've also looked at our fixtures. Obviously, I think Liverpool, I think they're going to draw some like shit team at home. I think this was such a dent to their confidence as far as they knew that they had to win and City matched them up with intensity. And Vincent Kompany, a player I fucking loathe.
He was a beast in this game, bro.
Hell of a game.
He was
a beast. Hell of a game from him.
Colin throwing out P-words, bro. P-words, it's all.
And Pep Guardiola melting down the touchline. Like, he's a bitch.
He should have gotten sent off, first of all, bro. If Mourinho did that, what he was doing, yelling at the fourth official, he would have gotten sent off.
Yeah, where's VAR for that
bullshit,
shit?
Bullshit, dude.
Either way, let's leave all this who's going to win the league talk behind. It was a hell of a match. It was the match of the week. Had to comment on it. And, you know, if you feel like you're frisky on the betting side, hammer City to win the league plus 120. I think it's theirs to win. I do think Liverpool is going to fade, especially that team in a position of chasing.
They don't have the depth that City have either.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to give our shout out, sir. It's been a hell of a week. Record downloads for the pod. We appreciate all you guys who tune in and listen. Obviously, the team's form has kind of gotten some wind at our sails as far as downloads concerned, but we really appreciate you guys. We're a small time shop. We are growing. We do everything ourselves, audio editing, doing the production side of it, doing the agendas, etc. But Top City, sir, hit
us
up.
We got a new one, bro. We got a new one. And I think it might have to do with our Hobbit manager, sir. But number one, for the first time ever, is Jar Norway. What up, Jar?
What up, Shire?
What up, number one Shire town. And then we got Shirley, New York, number two. Arvada, Colorado, number three.
Dude, hometown, Arvada.
Arvada, what up? Dude, San Francisco, up? California, number four. Sir, keep it going.
New York, New York. We got some more Hobbits. Oslo, Norway. What up? Brooklyn, New York. Sunderland, back on the list.
Till I die, baby. Till I die.
Manchester, United Kingdom, number nine. And London, sir. We shall see you all soon. The American Red Devils. We are going on the road in a little more than 30 days. We'll be in London. Going to Fulham versus Manchester United, away, sitting with the way of support, and then hopefully going to PSG at home, sir. We have a hell of a tour. We'll be recording content.
Got some Dishoon in between. We got chanting. Some Soho gyms. So we can't wait. Another trip to London. Love it.
Yeah, and the lead up to that trip, we're going to be giving you guys how we book the trip, how we do these cheeky United trips, especially away, how we kind of refresh our songs. We got to get back up to speed on all the new Olay chants.
There are some
we
new
got
ones.
All the Mourinho chants are gone. We got Olay. We got all this stuff coming in. You got to keep up with that away support because you got to be standing. You got to be singing. And as far as the holidays goes, we are giving away free stickers for the holidays. You know what to do. Give us a review. The ones we got on iTunes are hysterical.
If you have a funny comment,
leave it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars, preferably. Maybe
no shit posts.
Maybe 4, maybe 5.
Whatever we think you deserve.
All you got to do is take a screenshot of that and send it to us on Twitter at USA Red Devils. You can DM us or email us at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. We have just set up a Patreon account, sir. This is big because we feel the momentum. All the listeners, all you guys supporting us, you can go to our Patreon pages on our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com, and this is an easy way for you to support the cause. Like I said, we're a small-time shop. We do everything ourselves, so there are limitations as far as production quality and the audio. Our website, we want to get going. We want to actually have a blog for you guys. We want to blog every game, the transfers. There's a lot of news, preseason as well. A lot of things we want to do at the American Red Devils with our website, with this podcast, and your support goes a long way. Whether you can pledge $1, whether you can pledge $5, it would help out us creating this media empire, sir,
whatever
on this side of the
do.
Pond. I mean, there's not a lot of American media for Manchester United, but we are trying to give you our unbiased perspective, two fans on the couch, just hitting you with that banter.
Doing the best we can. So any help you can do to provide for the pod, we would appreciate it because that just allows us to provide more content, more pods, higher quality pods. Because at the end of the day, we love doing this because we love Manchester United and we love our American Red Devil fans, bro. Best in the world.
Best in the world, mate. We have hit a nerve here and we are growing. So regardless, we're going to be building out our website, creating more content for the pod, and we want to hear from you. hit us on Twitter. Hit us with an email. We would like to hear your suggestions. What do you like? What do you not like? Whether you like too many sirs, too many nuts, or
that's
like
be hard. That's be hard to work on.
Too many segments, stuff whatever it is. We want to hear from you guys. We want to make the best podcast for our American Red Devils fans throughout the world. And obviously, we have a soft spot in our heart for the U.S. of A, because soccer is growing here at Manchester United. Hated, adored, never ignored, sir. So enjoy it. Thanks for your support. As always, we'll be kicking a blue.
We're so-